we come for you now. We pray that you would just give great boldness to BJ to proclaim the truth of your word. God, would you guide us by your spirit to understand practically what you are saying, what you mean for us today, not just what you meant then, but also applicable to our lives today. God, that we would follow you no matter what's going on in this world around us. God, give BJ wisdom as he speaks, clarity as he speaks, and boldness to proclaim the truth you put in his heart. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Good to see everyone this morning. Hope y'all are doing good. God's good to allow us to gather again as his people. Amen. Amen. So I want to start our time off today with some wisdom from the Proverbs, specifically Proverbs chapter 29, that speaks to our main theme that we're going to be hearing about today. So hear the word of the Lord. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. Verse 4, a just king gives stability to his nation, but one who demands bribes destroys it. A key factor in the success or failure of any organization is its leadership. Now, whether that's on a huge, large scale like the nation's government or a Fortune 500 company, or on a smaller scale like a school, a football team, even a church, even a household, whoever is in charge is an extremely important thing. And it's also an inevitable thing. That's because our God is a God of order, and he has designed his world to operate under spheres of authority, delegating certain people with higher roles of authority and other people with lesser roles of authority. Now, we see this in civil government with presidents, kings, judges, etc. We see this in the church where Jesus Christ and his word hold the highest authority. And the elders are an authority to teach you guys and equip you guys in that word. And then we see this in the household, where the husband, the man, is called to be the leader, and his wife is called to be his helpmate. But in each of these spheres, God delegates authority and power to his creatures, and they're responsible to him for how they steward it. And listen, you guys know this. When a good leader is at the helm, ruling it all, it's a tremendous blessing to those who are under their care. But the inverse is also true. When a bad leader is running the show, no matter what this organization is, it brings tremendous harm to those under their care. Which is why leadership is not an insignificant thing. We need to take very seriously who is in authority over us and what they believe at our jobs, in our churches, and in our government. Because it will have tremendous effects on you, your family, your church. It can even determine the prosperity or the downfall of your nation. And so come back to the book of Micah this morning. We find that the leadership in Israel has completely turned their backs on God. And about 700 years before the arrival of Jesus Christ, God sends his prophet Micah to warn both the kingdoms of Israel and Judah that he's seen their wickedness. He's aware of their covetousness and their corruption and their idolatry. And his patience has run out. It's time for judgment. And in chapter 3, we're going to see that the judgment of God starts at the top with the leadership. Those who were called to serve the people in Israel have instead chosen to oppress them. Let's pray first and then we'll dive in. God, I pray that you take your word right now by the power of your spirit and teach us, Lord. Teach us these things that are so important, but God, can be confusing sometimes. Help us to understand how your word applies to us today, how something from 3,000 years ago and what was going on in a foreign land to us, God, how it's significant to our lives today, why it matters for us, our church, our families, our nation. God, we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're going to walk through it verse by verse, just like we do. That's what we do here, all right? Verses 1 through 3, Micah confronts Israel's unjust rulers. Hear the word of the Lord. And I said, "Hear, you heads of Jacob and you rulers of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know justice, you who hate the good and love the evil?" Listen to this next part. "Who tear the skin from off my people and their flesh from off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off of them and break their bones in pieces and chop them up like a meat in a pot, like flesh in a cauldron." And here we're seeing God's rebuke is first directed at the heads and rulers of the house of Israel, which are the political leaders, the kings, the judges, the magistrates. Now remember, at this time, Israel is under a system of government known as a theocratic monarchy. So the king of that nation was expected to rule under God's covenant, utilizing God's moral and civil laws as the standard for good and evil in that society. But that ain't what's happening. The governing authorities in Israel have turned their backs on all of that. That's why God says to them, "Is it not for you to know justice?" These guys they knew right and wrong according to God's laws, but like that's literally what they're qualified to know as their office. But their hearts have become so consumed by sin, so hardened against the Lord, that they've disregarded all of that in their standards for how they rule. To the point that God now says of them, they hate what is good and they love what is evil. So Israel's leadership, who you would think would be the cream of the crop, who should be the most virtuous, the most honorable in all the land, they've become morally bankrupt. And this is a big deal, y'all, okay? Because understand, government leaders, both then and now, have been placed in their positions ultimately by God himself, according to his sovereign plan and his sovereign purpose. Now, sure, we go, we cast our vote, you know, do our ballot, do all that stuff. But listen, we're told in Daniel chapter 2 that ultimately it's God who removes and establishes kings. And that leads us to our first biblical principle of the day that we got to get, okay? This is important. God establishes governing authorities for his ultimate purposes, and they are responsible for submitting to him in how they rule. And we see this point made clearly for us in Romans chapter 13. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about this, okay? "Every person is subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted or put in place by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Now listen, that statement is true universally. In historical Israel, in the Roman Empire, where Paul was writing this from, under the tyrannical leadership of Nero, who is worse than anything we've ever experienced. And listen, it's true for us today, all across the world. God appoints governing authorities. And next, we're told why. Verse 3. "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Then do what's good, and you'll receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." So you see, the job description of a government official, according to God who put them in office, is to administer justice in society, among the people, punishing evil and promoting good according to his standard. Like, that's what they're responsible for doing. Listen, even if they're not a Christian, they're still responsible for doing that. Communist China is responsible to God for how they lead. Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump, accountable to God. Decatur's city council, accountable to God. Even if they don't believe in him, they're still responsible before him. This is universal. And Micah's telling us that Israel's leaders, the covenant people of God, they have gotten to the position where they now hate what is good and love
what's evil.
So they're doing the opposite of what Romans chapter 3 says they're responsible for. They're promoting things that lead to death and destruction while hating things that lead to life and prosperity. Now, of course, they're not coming out and saying that. Instead, they dress up their policies with propaganda, using a language of compassion and empathy. We just want what's best for the people. But listen, they got war in their hearts. War in their hearts. Their policies are harming those under their care. People are being crushed by their tyrannical views because they're acting according to their own standard and not God's. And there's a timeless concept here that we got to understand, okay? You have to get this. This was true in Micah's day, and it's true in ours, okay? And this is why this is happening. God created all people to worship him. All people. Big, small, rich, poor, red, yellow, black, and white, okay? All people were created to love God, to submit to God, to give him glory. It's in our DNA. But regardless of ethnicity or nationality or political affiliation, sin has corrupted all of us. But it's not as if when that sin corrupted us, we stopped worshiping. No, instead, our worship shifted to where lost sinners either worship themselves or the creation or even false gods. But make no mistake, everyone worships something. Everyone gives their heart, their soul, their mind to something. And that everyone includes a nation's leadership, those in government. And listen, when you worship something, guess what you do? You submit to it. You allow that idol to define what's good and what's evil for you, okay? So the dilemma for all human beings, from the littlest baby down in the crib, nursing its mother, all the way up to the Oval Office, is not whether worship will happen. The dilemma is which God will be worshiped. And when a nation like Israel or the Roman Empire or even the USA turns its back on the one true God, listen, it's not as if worship stops. It's just directed elsewhere. And a false god, an idol, is erected in the place of the one true God. When that happens, truth is twisted, good becomes evil, evil becomes good, and everyone starts doing what's right in their own eyes, according to their desires, their opinions, their feelings. Now listen, if you follow that trajectory, that means, listen, if we get a group of Islamic people all running our nation, guess what our nation's gonna be in 100 years? And it's not an Islamic nation. That's how this works. Look, right now, we don't have an Islamic nation, but we have a nation of secular people who have been indoctrinated in not just the worship of the one true God, but the worship of ourselves. And we're seeing the repercussions of that. But the same thing's also true. Let's fill the White House or wherever, every nation, fill it with Christians. Fill it with people who love the Lord, who follow his ways, who obey his standards to the best of their ability. Guess what? That will lead to blessing. Just how it works. If you're like, well, that's not how I've seen it. It's how it works. It's history. But it was happening 3,000 years ago in Micah's day. And listen, it's happening in ours. And unless there's mass repentance, it never ends well for these people, for the individual who worships idols and for a nation who does the same. Now, I want us to hear how Micah describes what these leaders are doing, okay? Verse 2. Listen to this language, okay? They tear the skin from off my people and their flesh from off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and fillet their skin from off of them and break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a pot, like flesh in a cauldron, which is, I had to look up cauldron. I don't say that word. It's just a big old large metal pot. I don't know. Some of y'all may know what that is. I went to the University of Alabama, so, you know, I'm not going to know that stuff. Sorry, Roll Tide. Anyways, but listen. Rather than protect and serve the people, Israel's government is destroying them. They're tearing them apart. It says eating them alive like cannibals. And I bet that's especially true for those who are still there, like the remnant, who are still trying to follow God's ways. The ones who haven't turned their back on God. Because listen, they stand out like a sore thumb. By not going along with the government's wickedness and just winking at their unjust policies, The good members of society would become direct targets of this corrupt administration. Now, the question is, are the leaders literally eating people? Like taking skin and bones and making a flesh soup, as Micah says? Well, I don't think so. This is probably metaphorical language. But I will say this, okay? And don't ever forget this. Don't be naive. Those who have tremendous power also have tremendous temptation to commit unspeakable evils. Like things that you and I, we just can't even really understand. And we've seen an example of this with the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. I'm going there. That ain't a conspiracy anymore. Unsealed documents are confirming that there were horrific, grotesque things done by the most powerful people in the world to those who were most vulnerable. Things were probably going on among them that was going on in Micah's day. So listen, let us not read the Bible as if it's some 3,000-year-old fairy tale, okay? These were real people at a real time committing terrible evils, just like in our day. But if they're not literally eating people, it's very possible they're placing such heavy taxes on them that they couldn't provide for their families. Or as we saw a few weeks ago, they were stealing people's property without any repercussions, using their power to oppress. They could have been punishing innocent people for their crimes that they didn't commit while letting the guilty ones go free because they have money and influence. We're going to hear about that. The point is, the government in Israel is corrupt and full of evil. God put them in the place to protect the people, to administer justice in society, but this administration has done the opposite. And God has seen enough. Now comes his judgment, which is verse number 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time because they have made their deeds evil. Listen, guys, leaders who judge falsely will be judged. Those who oppress others will eventually be oppressed. Those who get rich off the back of people's suffering, they will come to poverty. And the God of justice will be the one who sees to it. And on their day of judgment, where they're reaping what they've sown, and they finally turn back to God, and they're crying out for forgiveness, and they're pleading for his mercy, they're not going to receive it. It's too late for them. They spent their entire lives denying God, ignoring his commands, following their own ways, and now he will turn his back on them and allow them to taste true justice for how they abused their authority, misused their office, and harmed his image bearers. And make no mistake, okay? This is not just true for government officials. There's a warning here for all people who refuse to submit to God. Now listen, I ain't talking to my Christians in the room, okay? This isn't for you, but this could be for some of you who don't profess Christ. The warning here is this. Don't assume God's grace will always be available to you. May none of us think we can continually harden our hearts against God day after day, month after month, year after year, always ignoring, always deflecting, always delaying, always following our own path, dismissing God over and over and over again, refusing to confess, refusing to repent. Don't think you can just do all that and it has no effect on your soul. Don't assume you can just turn back to God anytime you want, whenever it's convenient for you. That's not how faith works. That's not how grace works. There's a type of hardening of the heart that people can do that's called a judicial hardening, meaning if you continually deny God, at some point, he may decide to completely deny you and hand you over to your sin with no opportunity for repentance. Romans 9 tells us that this happened to the high in the land, Pharaoh, during the Exodus. But then Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this happened to the common man, Esau, okay? You can go check those things out. God does this. Now listen, that's his territory. I've had people come to me and said, have I sinned to the point where I can't come to repentance? My heart is too hard. Man, I don't know. I'm just going to keep giving you the gospel and tell you to repent. But when and if God decides to do that, it's up to him. But here's the application for y'all. Don't ever think That God's grace will always be available to you. Don't presume upon it. Run to it now. Receive it now. Repent and trust in Christ now. As the psalmist says, today is the day of salvation. That means this is the day to deny your idols, turn to the one true God, and walk in his ways. Don't put it off till tomorrow. You may not have until tomorrow. We all think we're going to live till 85, right? That ain't what's happening, okay? But in God's mercy, he's given you today. He's being patient with you. So listen, repent, believe, receive his grace before it's too late. So this is what God has to say to Israel's political leaders. But they're not the only ones causing trouble in the land. Verse 5, Micah confronts Israel's false prophets. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing in their mouths. So here we see Micah confront another office of authority, the prophets. And in this case, they're false prophets. And they're taking the prophetic office where they're to be speaking for the word of God, claiming to be doing that, but they weren't. Now understand, the one true God is a God of truth. But these cats, they're spreading lies all over Israel, leading the people astray into their sin. And it wasn't some blind leading the blind situation. Listen, they knew what they were doing. Micah tells us their prophecies were conditional. They cry peace when they have something to eat. So when they get that belly full, they'll tell. If you fill up their belly, they'll tell you what you want to hear. But they declare war against him who puts nothing in their mouths. So listen, if you bless them and you provide them money and resources, they tell you good stuff. But if you're poor and you didn't have much to give, they would prophesy war against you, hardship, curses. These guys have turned the prophetic office into a get-rich scheme. They're phonies, charlatans, who are using God as a means to steal from people. Now imagine the oppression that this put poor and needy people under, okay? They would be having curses spoken over them, and they'd think it was God who was saying it, who was declaring it, not realizing these prophets were literally just wolves in sheep's clothing. And just as with the corrupt political leaders, there are false prophets, listen, all around us in our day. Let us not be naive here at Grace Fellowship Church. Don't assume that the preacher, the pastor that's in your feed on your phone is telling you the truth because he quotes some Bible verses, okay? Don't think that just because the church down the road has a really nice building and people are flooding in that they have God's blessing. False prophets love to tell people what they want to hear, and people love to go places where people tell them what they want to hear. It draws a really good crowd. But the Apostle Paul tells us this, watch out for people like that. Those who cause divisions, create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught, avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. This is what's going on in Israel. It's what's going on in our day. But this is evil, y'all. And once again, God has seen enough. It's time for the false prophets to hear their sentence. Verse 6 and 7. The prophets are judged. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. So the false prophets have spread darkness all throughout Israel. And now God's going to spread darkness all throughout them. Even if they did have some good insight before, maybe some ability to offer a good word, that's all gone now. God will darken their hearts and their minds so much and clouding their hearts with thoughts and with trouble and with confusion that they won't know what to say. Not only that, God says he will also silence them. Listen to what he says. They shall cover their lips and speak no more, for there is no answer from God. Now understand, a prophet's entire life was marked by speaking, sharing words with the people, They prided themselves on that. It was their identity. But rather than steward that authority well, they used it to deceive, to steal, and oppress the people. And God's now completely taken away that ability. And it says, the seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. That means in God's judgment, these false prophets will become a laughing stock among the people. And it pleases the Lord that the people mock and laugh at these false prophets. They were cheats and imposters, and now God is bringing their true darkness to light for all to see. This is their judgment. But in God's great mercy, he did send a real prophet, a true spokesman to speak to the people, which brings us to verse 8. Micah, the true prophet, speaks up. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. So Micah speaks up and he says, hey, there's still one true prophet in town, one who the Lord truly has called, one who's filled with power, a messenger with truth of truth indwelt by the Spirit of the Lord. Now notice how confident Micah is. This isn't arrogance he's displaying. He just knows who's called him and what he's been called to. His commission is to go and declare to all of Israel and call them out for their sin. Now listen, in a culture that hates good and loves evil, do you think this would have made him very popular? No. Nobody likes it when you poke them in the idols, guys. Nobody likes that. But Micah don't care. He's seen the oppression among his people. He's aware of the corrupt leadership and how they're leading people off into sin. And listen, this has him enraged. He was thirsty for justice because Micah cared greatly for the souls of the men and women there, but also for the glory of the Lord. So he did what a true prophet is called to do. He brought sin into the light, spoke truth to power. Listen, so that it could be confronted, battled, and repented of. And Micah had the courage to do this, to proclaim the words that he knew would make everyone angry, everyone uncomfortable, but Lord willing would lead them to repentance. Micah didn't fear man. He feared the Lord. And this enabled him to speak truth to the people and trust his fate to his sovereign God, come what may. This is the spirit of prophetic ministry, okay? Declaring the word of the Lord and trusting him to do with it what he will. To waken wandering sheep or to cast out the hardened goats. Now let me remind you of this, brothers and sisters, lest you forgot. The same spirit who spoke through Micah now lives in you, okay? You have been set apart by your King, Jesus, to be a city on the hill, a light to the nations, a voice in the wilderness exposing the chains of people's sin, but also pointing them to Jesus, the one who can set them free. This is the church's mission. And listen, God is behind us, so we can be confident in it. Now, where the true prophet's responsibility was to declare the word of the Lord, the people also had a responsibility as well. They were to listen, to seek understanding, to be willing to be confronted, rebuked, and have their sin exposed. Not to destroy them, but to restore them, that they might repent and find healing for their souls. And listen, this responsibility has not changed in our day, saints. Each week when the word of the Lord is declared in this room, from this pulpit, you have the responsibility to come here, to listen intently and allow the word of the Lord to be washed over you that it might encourage you and sometimes might confront you. But again, not to condemn you, to restore you, not to leave you captive in your sin. God loves you too much, but to cut the chains of your sin away and free you from it. But listen, you gotta seek it. You got to take the Lord's day seriously, coming in here ready to hear what the one true God has to say to you individually and as a church corporate body. For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow. That means it's going to get down into the deepest parts of you that you don't want nobody to know about. But your God loves you enough to go there. It's going to discern the thoughts and intentions of your heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And listen, that's a good place to be, okay? God sees all, but he loves you enough to warn you, to tell you, to share with you how you can get away from his judgment and receive his hope. As God's people, it's not only our responsibility to proclaim the word of the Lord, it's also our responsibility to sincerely seek the word of the Lord and then go and be doers of it. And listen, God is faithful. He will help us with this task just like he did Micah. Verse 9 through 12, our last verses. The leadership, the priests, and the prophets are going to be judged. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who detest justice and make crooked all that is straight, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Its heads give judgment for a bribe. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in our midst? No disaster shall come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountains of the house a wooded height. So Micah closes chapter 3 by reiterating the sins of these high offices of leadership, okay? The political leaders, they detest true justice. They're taking bribes for false verdicts. The prophets, they're practicing divination, communicating with demons, which God strictly forbids in his covenants in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And then Micah throws a new group into the mix. He says the priests are even teaching for a price. So those whom God commissioned to be the primary teachers of his law and those who were to be offer the sacrifices to his people, listen, they're even being paid off. If you just give them the right amount of money, they'll tell you what you want to hear. They'll make you that sacrifice. They'll do whatever the scriptures don't teach just to make you feel good. Now listen. Listen to what all of these offices are saying as they commit these wicked acts. Okay, listen to what they're saying to each other. Is not the Lord in our midst? This is good, y'all. No disaster should come upon us. God is all up in this. So listen, they think all is well. Satan has cast such a fog over their eyes that they don't even understand what they're doing. They think what they're doing is good and that God's pleased with them. Why? Well, probably because they're still going to temple, still performing their rituals, still receiving the applause of the rich elites. But listen, they're completely deceived. God called them to their positions. He gave them their assignment and their standards. But the leadership of Israel, who should be the most virtuous in the land, have completely perverted their office by being consumed with pride, with greed, and with lust for power and money. And God's seen enough. Again, judgment is imminent. That's our text for today. But that leads us to our application. Number one, do not put your hope in presidents, kings, or governing authorities. Put your hope in the Lord. Psalm 149, 3 through 5 tells us this. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans will perish. But blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So I started today by telling y'all how important leadership is, okay? At the highest levels and at the lowest levels. And we've seen from our text that when the leaders don't steward their responsibility well, it brings great harm to those who are under their care. Now, hopefully you noticed many of the parallels between the sins of Israel's leaders and the sins of our very own leaders over the years in our country. Our presidents, our governing authorities, among our nation's pastors, our proclaimers of God's word. Now listen, I'm gonna be straight with you. You and I live in the greatest nation that this world has ever seen. We have no idea how rough the past 5,000, 6,000 years of nations had before us, okay? We live like kings, y'all. But make no mistake, there is tremendous corruption festering beneath all of it, stretching all the way up to the top. And this is because whether you're the leader of a nation, or you're just some middle-class voter like the rest of us, or you're a homeless guy on the street, mankind's greatest problem is not a political problem. It's a spiritual one. The fact that we are all, by nature, sinners who have hearts that have been corrupted by lust, by passion, by greed. We convince ourselves, if we just had a little more money, a little more power, a little more influence, maybe we can fix this mess we're in. We all do this. Maybe we can right this ship. But listen, we can't buy our way out of this problem. We can't talk our way out of what the dilemma that we've gotten ourselves in. We can't outvote ourselves out of this wrong. And no politician in some nice suit promising us prosperity is coming to save the day for us, okay? Because the greatest problem in our nation, among our people, which includes you and me and your kids, the greatest problem is our hearts. We've all sinned against God, and we're worthy of judgment. But I'm here to remind you this morning that God did not leave us without hope. Hope for the peasant and hope for the politician. Listen, our story does not end in Micah, because God would go on 700 years later to send his only begotten son, Jesus, who was the true prophet, the true priest, the true king. He was uncorrupted by sin, and he obeyed all of God's laws perfectly, and he wielded his authorities for the good of the people. But in his greatest act of mercy and justice, he laid down his life to cover the sins for all people who look to him as their hope, all people who look to him as their pardon, their savior. Listen, from every tribe, tongue, and nation, Jesus took on our deserved judgment while allowing wicked rulers who were under the influence of Satan and his demons to put him to death on a sinner's cross. God was simultaneously solving our greatest problem by having his perfect son become the final sin sacrifice for his people and then putting an end to death through his resurrection. Listen, if you're in here and you have trusted in Christ, you're never gonna die. You might pass from this life to the next, but you're gonna live forever. And it's gonna be good. No more sin, no more tears, no more demons, no more any of this stuff. Brothers and sisters, do you see how in the story of the world, we don't need to trust in kings and presidents, world leaders? Jesus is our only hope. Now listen, even if they're good kings, good leaders, even if they do steward their authority well and establish just laws and punish evil and reward the good, listen, praise the Lord. But even the best of men are still just men at best. So listen, put all of your eggs in Jesus's basket, okay? Trust him with all the junk going on. Go all in on your Savior. He is literally the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's a political statement. He's saying, I run this show. Not you Putin, not you Chinese Communist Party, not you Trump, not you whoever comes up in 2028. I run this show, and I will not show partiality. I will not take a bribe. I will not lead my people astray, and I will judge everybody who does. So let us look to him, brothers and sisters. In these strange times where our country is divided and corruption is being exposed every day in the highest of places, Jesus is the God-man that you need, that your kids need, that this country needs. And he's not forgotten us, okay? But let us not presume upon his grace either. Now, while you shouldn't hope in your leaders, there is something you should do that God calls you to. That leads us to number two. Pray for the leaders in your life. Your employers, your pastors, your government officials, any of those who you're subject to. First Timothy chapter 2, we'll be covering this soon in MC in our men's time. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Notice he didn't include in there imprecatory prayers. If you don't know what that is, that means he didn't include in there praying that they be destroyed. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray that at some point. He just didn't include it in this text. He said to pray for their salvation, that it might go well with you. We're commanded to go to the sovereign God on behalf of our governing authorities, and we're to intercede for them. Now listen, that means no matter how wicked they are, no matter how much you agree with their policies, no matter if they have a worldview that's informed by the scriptures, which is what we want, or if they have one that's informed by demons, which is what we get a lot of times, okay? Newsflash, sin is bipartisan. Conservative or liberal, Republican, Democrat, it's all been corrupted, y'all. I mean, you gotta be able to see that. The entire system is diseased. And yet still, we're commanded by King Jesus to pray for those in governing authorities, positions, to ask God to work in their hearts, bring them to faith and repentance, cause them to steward their positions according to his standard, that there might be peace and prosperity in our land. That's what he just said, okay? And this is no small task, I get it. But are you praying for your president as much as you're groaning about him? Are you praying for your governors as much as you're questioning all of their decisions? I'm not saying don't moan and groan. I'm not saying don't question their decisions. But I'm asking, are you praying for them as much as you're doing that? Your city councilman, are you praying for them? If not, you should be. What they believe, what they do, who they bow their knee to, listen, it has significant effects on your life. If you don't believe me, just remember the past 5-6 years with COVID, okay? Just remember, just think back to that. And listen, just as God did a miracle in your heart, turning you from your wicked ways, what makes you think he can't do the same for your presidents and for your leaders, for your micromanaging boss at work? He can do that. And maybe he will. Again, that's God's territory. But he commands us to ask him to do it, for the good of our family, for the good of our neighbor, for the good of our land. So let's do it. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Then let's pray some more. Number three. I got two more. I'm almost done though. Number three. Beware of false prophets and the desire to have your own itching ears scratched by them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, our highest authority is Jesus Christ. And I say that with great pride. Our King is awesome. He is so good. And he's alive, okay? Don't think about Jesus as some like just imaginary thing. Listen, he is at the right hand of God the Father in a body with a sword in his hand, the word in his mouth, and he's coming back one day to get us, okay? But we should be so pumped that Jesus is the ruler of our life. But listen, he also did not leave us in the dark about what he's done for us, but also what he requires of us. Jesus told us in his word. And listen, this word, the word of God, it's the very breath of the Lord. And it should have the highest authority in your life. You need to do the work of figuring out what God's word says in its proper context and how it applies to you. So listen, you can then go and walk on it. You can be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And listen, that's our passion for y'all here at Grace Fellowship Church, are to equip you in the word of the Lord. That's why we walk verse by verse through the Bible. But listen, you have wolves all around you who want to deceive you, to manipulate you, to twist God's word and lead you astray. False prophets were around in Micah's day, and they're alive and well in ours as well. They're on your phone, they're in your bookstores, they're filling the pulpits in the city as we speak, and you gotta be aware of them. But you also gotta be aware of your desire to seek out ones who will tell you what you wanna hear. Not what you need to hear, not what the Lord says, but what you wanna hear. Now listen, I love our church. This is a good church. God is good to us. And I want all of you guys to be here until your dying day or Jesus comes back, okay? I want us all to go to the grave, arms locked, ready, you know, whatever it looks like. But in reality, that probably isn't gonna happen. Maybe some of y'all are gonna move and go elsewhere. Maybe a disagreement's gonna pop up at some point and you'll leave for a good reason or a not so good reason. Yes, you can be wrong too. We can be wrong, but you can be wrong. That's just a reality. But my hope, listen, my hope, regardless of any of that, my hope for all of you is that no matter where your life takes you, you will not settle for attending a church that does not preach the word of God to you directly, with clarity, with zeal, and in its proper context. May none of y'all leave this place under our pastor's leadership and go to some of these country club, nightclub, performance places, concert halls that are pretending to be legit churches so you can have your ears tickled by some slick guy claiming to speak for the Lord who's really a narcissistic charlatan. May that not happen to you. Don't do it. Wherever God takes you, for whatever reason, demand of yourself and your family that you will sit under faithful biblical teaching and do not waver on that. Do you understand? Make it a conviction that you drive deep down into your heart that you're never going to go to a place like that. You know what the word says. You see what it says. You can read. You're not stupid. Go to a place where they bring you the word. This will serve you well during your time on earth, regardless of where you go. Beware of false prophets and your desire to have your ears itched by them, scratched by them. And last, and this is short, how are you stewarding the authority that God's delegated to you? How are you stewarding the authority that God's delegated to you? I'm looking at a room full of parents, students, teachers, businessmen, plant managers. Yes, the list goes on. Some of you may even go on to become government leaders one day. Who knows? But either way, the truth is that each of you have been delegated by a good God, a little portion of his creation that you're responsible for. That includes yourself, your homes, your spouses, your children, your jobs, your church family, all the people in your life. God's given each of us a garden to tend to that you're responsible for. And he's delegated you the authority and the power in that garden to make decisions, to govern, and to serve for the good those under your care. So how are you stewarding that authority? Are you truly looking to Jesus and following his ways? Are you studying God's word and his laws and doing your best really to, by the power of the Spirit, to lead your life in a righteous way? Most of you are. Or are you distracted, caught up in all that's going out there in clown world while ignoring the garden right there in front of you? Okay? Don't do that. Or are you just doing what's right in your own eyes, allowing your sin, your flesh, all that to run the show, calling evil good and good evil? I don't think that's happening with any of y'all, but who am I to say? If that's you, then repent. Confess your sins to the Lord and receive the pardon, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of his Spirit to also turn from that wickedness. Listen, you will become like what you worship. You will become like what you worship. That's true of those who are running our country, and that's true of your children. And here in this house, in Grace Fellowship Church, we're going to serve King Jesus. Amen? He's going to be the one that calls the shots in our lives. And as we strive to follow him and we trust him to bless those under our care, even when we stumble, he's there to pick us up. He knows how we are, guys. He sees our station, but he's also there with us in the trenches, helping us in the battle. And he promises that he will bless us, but we got to walk with him. This is the way, saints, okay? Let's not trust in princes. Let's not trust in kings. Let's put our trust in the Lord. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for, God, words we need to hear. God, you control everything. There is not a molecule in this universe that is not under your authority and under your power, and that, God, you can't do with it what you will. But God, you have by your mercy allowed us to not only be forgiven for our sins, but to get to know you, to become your sons and daughters. And then you've given us the mission of continuing Jesus's work on this earth. God, we have a mission as a church. We have your word. We have your Spirit. We have all the things that we need. God, let us not get caught up in things that don't matter. I'm not saying who our leaders are don't matter. Let us pray, God. There's only so much we can do. Let us pray. Let us trust. Let us look to Jesus, not princes, not kings. But God, I do pray for those over our land and the lands of all the nations across the world. Would you raise up Christian leaders who truly, sincerely love Christ, love your word, love your law, love your standard. And God, would you raise them up over the next 100, another next 50, next 100 years, raise them up to the positions of authority all across the world, among every tribe and nation, that God, Jesus might get the glory he's worthy of. God, would you do this? We can always hope. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.